Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodhi, and I am your host, and I've got a weird echo in my headphones, and I don't know why. It doesn't seem to affect the recording, but it is really bothersome to me, and I haven't figured out why this is happening. So, yeah, I don't like it. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like it. Today, we are going to talk about Fisker's Q4 2022 earnings call. And we're just going to jump right into it because I've spent a lot of my week either podcasting or setting my new computer up so that I can podcast. And when just when you think you got everything fixed, like you pay to upgrade plugins and you mess with the software until everything seems the way it was on the last computer, just when you get to that point, you get that weird echo thing that I was telling you about. I don't know why it's there. I honestly don't know why it's there. But it is bugging me. Anyway, first up, we have Heinrich Fisker, who's going to give his opening remarks. I'm going to be honest with you. His opening remarks were originally like 19 minutes long, and I cut them down to 10 minutes. I will tell you all the stuff that was relevant that I cut out at the end of the clip. So let's go ahead and dive in.
Our number one priority is launching a high-quality Fisker Ocean with class-leading features and range. We are excited to get the Ocean in the hands of our loyal customers once the homologation process is complete. The Ocean homologation testing is expected to be completed in March, which will be followed by a regulatory approval processes. I had expected us to be farther along when we last spoke in November, but we encountered some testing delays due to weather and COVID absences and some complicated retests that slowed our process. We took on a lot by doing both U.S. and Europe homologation at the same time, but the ability to sell the Ocean in so many countries is an important de-risking strategy and gives us the opportunity to increase sales and shift to whichever market offers the strongest growth. And I just want to emphasize that it's not normal for any car company to actually do dual homologation in two continents, but I think once this is done, it's a huge advantage for us because we have also built out our complete service and sales network in Europe. So it really opens up endless possibilities for growth. We recently completed our EPA and WLTP range test, and our internal findings show a longer range for the Fisker Ocean than we initially projected. And this reinforces our expectation that the Ocean will have the world's longest range of any SUV or crossover priced below $70,000 or 70,000 euros. And Burkhard would go into that detail later. If you remember, we had announced 350-mile range here in the U.S. EPA. And I would just say I think it's going to be closer to 360 than 350. And in Europe, we had announced 630 kilometers. And I think this will be closer to 700 than 630. We obviously can't announce the exact numbers yet because they have to be verified by the two agencies, but we have run all these tests. And I want to say congratulations to our engineering team because they've done an amazing job in refining every little detail that attributes to getting this long range more than we originally had expected, because we actually use some of these vehicles from our startup production to actually refine and refine and refine. And of course, there's not one element alone that makes this long range. It's really the genius, I would say, of our engineering team that has created this. And being a company that launched its first vehicle and achieved the world's longest range, I think is pretty amazing, specifically because it's also an affordable vehicle. So congratulations on that. And I'm super excited when we get the final ratings, but they're going to be good. Let's get to the Ocean demand. Our reservations continue to increase despite new competition and competitors' price reductions. Net reservations and orders now total approximately 65,000 for the Fisker Ocean, reflecting the large and growing global addressable market for a well-appointed electric SUV. As we start deliveries, we expect increased brand awareness to drive even more customer considerations and demand for the Ocean. We priced the Ocean extremely competitively, considering the many proprietary features such as class-leading range, California mode, solar sky, solar roof, the amount of horsepower in this vehicle for the price, amazing, the 17.1-inch rotating screen, a digital 4D radar, and on, I could keep on that, but it really shows that people appreciate how unique our vehicle is. And as consumers have opportunities to interact in person with the Ocean, we expect this value to increase and really resonate and drive even more sales. We continue to showcase the Ocean throughout a variety of brand building activities. Two of the larger recent events include media investors and business partners in Austria and Las Vegas. Our pop-ups continue to be very popular with reservation holders and prospective customers, many of whom drove long distances to get their first glimpse of the Fisker Ocean, which shows how passionate and committed our customers are to the brand. And I really, really appreciate that. And I think it really builds, again, a strong foundation for our brand. And since our last earnings call, we also took the Ocean to six states here in the U.S., Texas, New York, Florida, Las Vegas, Utah, and California, and also did pop up in many European countries. And of course, we'll continue doing that and actually increase it as we move forward. I want to just highlight a couple of really innovative things that are inside the Ocean. One is the user interface, and I know there's been, of course, a few videos on social media about it, but those were all early pre-production versions of this user interface. The final user interface, I just want to tell you, it's amazing. When I go in the car, let me tell you, I actually hate computers, quite frankly. I'm really not good at it, and I don't know, when I use them, they always break down. But I want to tell you, when you get in this car and use it, you don't need any instruction on how to use it. It's just like the first time you picked up an iPhone. It just is intuitive. And that is what's really cool about this user interface, and that was all developed in-house. Now, also what is super cool, and I'm really impressed about what we have done in-house, is the Ocean over-the-air update capabilities, and they are now complete. It's amazing to experience the vehicle getting updated and improved fully over-the-air, and this was all developed in-house. It's just super cool to see. And then finally, the Ocean will come with advanced ADAS controller and sensor suite, which is designed to be continuously updated through our OTA platform, and Burkhard will talk more about that. It obviously also gives us endless opportunities to bring some really cool features to market later because the foundation is so advanced, like the digital radar, for example. Okay, let me get to a short pair update. The pair program is progressing well. We achieved our goal of a drivable pair prototype before year end last year, which you may have seen me driving around in LA. It was quite fun, actually. Today, we are revealing more of the exterior production design. For example, the rear lighting is a continuous light strip around the rear window with an integrated high-mounted brake light. The side view has a unique, iconic graphic and a clean sculptural body side with pronounced fenders that really gives it a powerful, wide stance. And it also means the car in this price range is going to handle amazingly. The overall front lights have the signature of Fisker, dual light bars surrounded by high-tech light graphics. And then the vehicle sits a bit higher off the ground, and you also have a high seating position, even though it looks quite sporty. And that's really is perfect, specifically for city driving. And that is combined with this big canopy, that huge round window, which I think today might be the most advanced front windscreen on a modern car. because there's a lot of new rules and regulation on how to do front windscreens. So we don't see these super round windscreens anymore that we used to see in the 60s, but we have actually achieved that. And it gives you an amazing view of the road in front of you, anything that happens in front of you. Finally, the dynamic shape has already undergone extensive aerodynamic testing in the wind tunnel, and we expect the top version to achieve well over 300 miles. We will offer two different battery packs because I also think because of the price and the size of the pair, this may be a second EV for many EV buyers that already love EVs and drive EVs, and therefore they may not need to carry around a giant expensive battery if they're only using it as a city car. So we'll offer some different variations there. We also have some super excited different interior variations, but we'll talk about that later. And the pair is being engineered using new automotive specifications. And that's important, the new automotive specification, because that's how we achieve the base price of $29,900. That's not a price we just threw out there. We've actually gone through all the development to ensure that that is the price that we're going to achieve. I'm super excited about that. The current pair reservations are just exceeding 5,600. We did release some new images today, so maybe that'll pop up a bit as well. And then finally here, I want to talk a bit about our future product portfolio. Because, you know, in the end of the day, we do have our goal to reach 1 million vehicles per year. So later this year, at our inaugural Investor Day event, we expect to showcase our future, or at least some of our future product portfolio, with several durable prototypes. And they will all be in new segments. And we are still keeping our promise of always having at least four unique features on each vehicle. So we will showcase the pair, which has some amazing features never been seen before on any vehicle. We will also showcase the Ronin. And then we will showcase our Alaska program, which is our take on a pickup truck. And we have some amazing features that have never been done on a pickup truck before. I'm super excited about showing that. There's another cool thing about this pickup truck, and that is that we actually are able to use a lot of the Ocean components in that vehicle, which means we're going to be able to do it faster and more affordable than probably a lot of other electric pickup trucks out there. It's going to look really, really tough, but still beautiful. So I'm excited about showing that. Anyway, I can get carried away when we talk about product. All right, let's get to sustainability. That's another of our super brand pillars. It's really at the heart of what we are here for. And the hard work on ESG continues at the company. We are progressing on company targets aligned with the United Nations Sustainability Development Goals that are materially relevant to our company. Additionally, as we prepare for our next annual ESG impact report, we have completed our life cycle assessment for the Fisker Ocean. And based on our foundation of transparency and to lead the auto industry, we expect to publish this LCA or life cycle assessment during the first half of this year. We are super excited to share the results, furthering our leadership in sustainability.
All right, I'm going to start with some of the things that I edited out. First up, Fisker says that it will be profitable in 2023. They're currently transitioning or pivoting from vehicle development to production and deliveries. They're working on deploying their mobile service vans, and then they also have service partners in key markets. I would imagine that this is very difficult starting out because the United States is huge. Europe is huge. Like, how do you cover that with mobile vans and service centers? You have to have some service partners in order to make that work. So I would imagine this is very daunting. Fisker has officially received permission to sell vehicles in California, although they're not going to be delivering any vehicles in Q1 of 2023, it sounds like, maybe at the end. They have delivery centers that they're working on. Home delivery partners are secured for all of their launch countries. They're going to have pop-up delivery sites. Test drives will be available, so check Fisker's website because it sounds like they're moving those test drives around. And then they've got partners for home and public charging. That's all been finalized. Now we're going to go into some of the things that he talked about. He talked about homologation, and this is mentioned several times in the earnings call. And if you don't know, because I had to look it up too, so don't feel bad, this is like an approval process for them to get the car certified to sell and all that stuff. One of the things that Heinrich said is that they are working on deliveries in the United States and their launch countries in Europe all at the same time. This is either genius or a huge mistake. Only time will tell. I mean, for my money, who's, you know, a dude sitting in his basement podcasting, the Fisker Ocean is built in Austria. So it would be easiest for Fisker to actually start deliveries in Europe and then hold off on the U.S. market. But I do understand why they want to get into the U.S. market, because there's a lot of money and there's a lot of reservation holders here. And I don't know this for a fact, but there might be, you know, the most reservation holders in the United States. So I kind of see why they want to do this. One of the cool things that he announced was the Fisker Ocean is going to have a longer than expected range. So we're looking around 360 miles or 700 kilometers. We're still waiting on governments to approve those numbers, but that's pretty cool. They did talk about manufacturing. I cut that out. It sounds like they're close to production. This is going to be a slow ramp for Fisker, so that allows suppliers to be ready and to catch up, so they're not outstripping what their suppliers can give them in terms of parts. Their production partner, Magna, currently has the ability to build 100 Fisker Oceans a week. So that's 20 a day, 100 a week. That's pretty good starting out. As far as ramping up goes, I did cut out, they talked about demand. I cut that out as well. Demand is currently strong. They have 65,000 reservations, and those reservations are continuing to go up. So that's a positive. One of the things that I really liked hearing about was their prioritization of over-the-air updates. Like, this was something that they built the car with over-the-air updates as a priority versus building the car and then over-the-air updates were a secondary goal. Sounds like this is going to work out of the box, which is great. That's fantastic. Let's see here. They talked about their affordable vehicle, the Fisker Pear, which is a sub-$30,000 vehicle. Future projects, they have the Ronin. And the future product I'm most excited about is the Alaska project, which is a truck. So that's awesome. It seems like Fisker is approaching a lot of the things that they're doing much in the same way that Tesla talked about in an investor day. Like, where can we reduce weight? Where can we improve efficiencies? Where can we reduce cost and still make a really good product? It seems like they have similar goals in mind, which I'm sure all car companies do. It's just relevant because we just had three episodes on investor day. So I just figured I'd give it a little callback. Next up, we're going to hear from Burkhard. He's going to talk about the tech in the Ocean and the Pear. This is like another clip that I cut down. It was very long. This is only cut down to a few minutes. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
All of our efforts remain focused on launching a car with high quality hardware and software functionality. For example, the Ocean comes equipped with a great set of base ADAS features. The Ocean's ADAS functionality is very competitive and comparable to that seen in premium German brands. As Henrik alluded to, however, there is more validation work needed to finalize our FI Pilot ADAS system in the Ocean. We plan to launch OTA updates over time to continually improve the customer experience and product performance. In terms of OTA readiness, we have successfully implemented OTA updates of key domain controllers, like ADAS, even including its sensor set or vehicle control unit or cockpit computer, to name a few. All of the OTA components, from ECU component level to Fisker pipeline and cloud, have been reviewed by a third party and have been proven to be functionally safe and ISO 26262 compliant, and furthermore, cybersecurity compliant following ISO 21434. Similarly, the Ocean multimedia integration is quite impressive. The sound system delivers studio experience in the car. In cooperation with a leading sound studio, our multimedia experience has been optimized for low NVH and implemented with our unique UI UX, so users can enjoy a premium hassle-free experience. Now to touch briefly on PEAR. While we are currently focused on launch activities for the Ocean, PEAR engineering continues to ramp up, and we have made great progress by utilizing our India lab. Our first driver, the PEAR prototype, was built at the end of 2022, which marks a significant milestone in the program's development. The PEAR will have a truly revolutionary electrical architecture, with the many ECUs in a traditional vehicle consolidated down to just a few central computer units, which we call the Blade Computer. This enables us to execute a fully next-generation electrical architecture for Fisker PEAR, which will be a software-driven car of the future.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, that is it for opening remarks. I can't remember if I mentioned this or not. I skipped Geeta Gupta Fisker's opening remarks, and it wasn't because it wasn't interesting. She just talked about a lot of the same stuff that Heinrich talked about. And honestly, we're going to hear a little bit more from her in the questions and get a little bit more details. So I figured rather than having to listen to her opening remarks, we would just get that same information from the questions. So our first question comes from Jeff Osborne, and he's going to talk about the cadence of production and deliveries.
How should we think about the cadence of production through the year? Last quarter, you had given some helpful commentary on, you know, what you thought production would be by quarter. You obviously reiterated guidance for the full year. I assume we should be all on the same page, not assuming any deliveries in calendar Q1. And then is the old production ramp still applicable or no?
Those are a lot of questions. So let me take one by one. So deliveries have nothing to do with production. Deliveries have to do with homologation and getting the approvals to sell the cars. So I want to separate the two. We can produce cars today as long as we get, like I mentioned earlier, if we are starting to get parts. I saw batteries last week. I'm seeing other parts coming in. So as long as parts keep coming in, we can produce the cars, no problem. But what we need is the certification to sell the vehicles in Europe and US. And I think Burkhard went into great detail about that already. Now let's come to production itself. We can produce, Hendrik mentioned, 20 cars a day, and we have a very clear plan with Magna Steyr on how to increase this production capacity week on week on week all the way through to December this year. So the numbers we had, the guidance we had given hasn't changed in terms of what we can produce. What we need to monitor, as I mentioned, is supplier ramp up. So as I alluded to, certain suppliers, they feel they need a little bit more time for their own PPAP processes, high quality PPAP processes, and we will monitor what that means between March, April, May in terms of where they get to peak production. But I'm expecting that by June timeframe, all the suppliers are fully ramped up to our production needs, which is more or less 5,000 a month at this point in time.
If I understood her correctly, she was saying that we're going to hit 5,000 vehicles a month in June. That seems like a lot. And maybe I didn't understand her right. I listened to this clip several times, and this is how I'm taking this. But if I'm misunderstanding, let me know. It's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. But that's kind of where my head went when she was talking about this. I think that's a lot. They're currently capable of doing 100 a week. And that doesn't mean they're doing 100 a week. That means they are saying they're capable of doing 100 a week. That's 400 a month. That's a lot. That's a big difference. Next up, we are going to hear from Dan Levy. Some of the stuff in this clip isn't necessarily related to this show, but I do think it gives you some good context about the company. So I left it all in there. And we get a little more detail on the Alaska project, which I'm really interested in. But before that, we are going to hear all about Fisker's R&D, like research and development, and how much they're spending and why they're spending less this year over last year.
I want to just ask about the R&D guide. So you're guiding to 2023 R&D of 160 to 190 million. And this is a significant step down from the 400 million plus you did in 2022. So maybe you could just talk about, please, the underlying requirements or dynamics in R&D spend, why it steps down, and maybe what R&D is required in the future for new product, be it Pear, Ronin, or Alaska. Thank you.
Great question, Dan. So, Dan, when a company starts up operations, you have a certain level of inefficiency. And that's why we have a lot of outside suppliers, and we have relied on Magna to do some of the engineering. Also, we relied on certain suppliers to do some of the engineering, which is why you saw a higher ED&D bill for Ocean. Now, as we go into the second vehicle, on one hand, we have enhanced our own internal team, including a pretty significant employee base in India, which, as we know, is a much reduced cost than hiring here in California. So that accounts for some of the reduced costs where we brought some of the R&D in-house. The second point is that we have certain areas where we don't have to repeat the engineering. Let me give you some examples. So, for example, the OTA pipeline that Burkhard talked about, once those investments are in place, we don't have to repeat them. Henrik talked about UI UX. Once that development, the base UI UX experience is developed, now you're doing a spin-off. You're going to modify that. So there are many, many, many areas, including I can talk about in EE architecture, where we have the capability to take over certain components from certain suppliers and carry over and use those over our second vehicle. And finally, you know, we are more efficient. We have a team that works together, smarter, just far more efficient when it comes to next year.
And Dan, maybe just to add to that, you mentioned Alaska. That will be very broadly based on the Ocean. We're going to call it the FT32 platform, but it's really a derivative of the Ocean. So again, you're not now, you know, engineering a car from ground up. And that's also why we can create a driver prototype really quickly, because when we created the first driver prototype of the Ocean, there was nothing there. Everything had to be new. That's not the case with future vehicles.
Dan, I hate to say the final comment, but frankly, there is a price point for a new startup. There's a price of entry, and suppliers generally charge you a higher ED&D. Once you get past that phase, you are welcomed into the club and you get treated like a real OEM.
Great. Thanks. And then just a follow-up, maybe you can talk a bit more about the timeline of Pear. You mentioned you have a prototype, but how many incremental prototype stages are there? You know, at what point do you start to do the supplier sourcing? When does the BOM get locked in? And I think you had mentioned at one point that there was a high amount of carryover content from Ocean to Pear. Maybe you can reiterate if that's still the case or any incremental color on that front, please. Thank you.
Yeah. So first, what I mentioned was a new way to specify a vehicle. And what I mean by that is that when anyone anywhere in the world creates a car, it is a set of spec books. And spec books means that every part could be the mirror. For example, there's a spec book on the mirror, and that spec book, for example, on a mirror might contain 20 different things, from the little light that has to be to glass, the cap on the mirror, everything that's in that mirror, the little electric motor, whatever. And what normally happens is you create that spec book specifically as a startup together with suppliers sometimes. What happens with normal OEMs or traditional OEMs that's been at it for a while, they take the spec book from their previous car and they apply it to the next car, which essentially means, I mean, it's just like a recipe in a bakery. You know, when the son or daughter takes over, they will use the same recipe as the mother and father did, and nothing really changes. In our case, we decided with the Pear to actually completely redo these spec books. We obviously had all the experience with the Ocean, and we fine-combed through it, and certain elements that are, you know, great at the Ocean that we can use, we'll use, but the other things may be too premium, because in the end of the day, the Fisker Ocean is a premium vehicle, you know, that goes all the way up to $70,000. So of course, it has certain engineering solutions that fits that premium segment. But when we looked at the Pear, we wanted to come up with some ideas that has never been done before to achieve our goal of being able to sell this vehicle for $29,900 as a base price and make money on it. And we went through all that and have already gone through all that. We have also gone through how can we lower the cost of the total development. Maybe we do less prototypes, maybe do prototypes at a different stage. There's a whole bunch of things we're going through. Now, I'm not about to, you know, show our menu, just like Coca-Cola doesn't show their ingredients as this lying in some safe somewhere, and so it does here at Fisker. So I'm not gonna elaborate more on that, but believe me, it's a pretty exciting program, and it will come out at $29,900.
Dan, you asked a question about the BOM, and you asked a question about supply engagement. So I think what I'm super excited about is learning more and more about e-architecture from Burkhard and how amazing and lean the e-architecture will be. So I'll pass on to Burkhard to explain a little bit, and then I'll jump back in on the BOM.
Yeah, let me talk about the central computers. So in original or in traditional car manufacturers, you have many ECUs, which are now consolidated to just a few. If you imagine how many ECUs need power supply, need packaging, need housing, we can reduce that to just a few. With this saying, the complexity to consolidating into less computers is playing in an advantage, not just in regards to owning the software on one hand side and all the features and functions being implemented in those fewer computers, but also reducing the complexity with suppliers, reducing the complexity on cost, reducing the complexity of wiring harness. Just a few centralized computers allow you actually to reduce extremely the cost from components to wiring harness to ED&D. And that is what we are doing currently, consolidating into this new architecture, which really becomes now a software-driven car, where we see the future going. Specifically for Pear, it allows us to reduce drastically the BOM cost from the EE architecture. Although the complexity of the domain computers are increasing, this is the advantage of the future EE architecture, which we are implementing into the Pear.
So, Dan, just to highlight between Henrik and Burkhard, overall, the car has fewer parts, whether it's electrical components or it's mechanical components. Less material means less cost. Also means that you have less integration, both electrical and hardware, means that your prototyping costs are less, means that your overall complexity is less. So the way we look at Pear, we are engineering the entire e-architecture in-house. It's well underway. We are working with We have identified some of our SoCs already. We have identified what chips we want with respect to infotainment. We are in the process of finalizing ADAS. And then when it comes to the actual body and chassis, the development is being done in-house completely. We are almost final negotiations when it comes to powertrain. So we have identified pretty much all long lead commodities and suppliers.
All right. In terms of the R&D spend versus this year over last year, I thought that was a really interesting answer. Like, once you become part of the club, you start getting the good prizes, but you got to pay your dues first, that kind of thing. I thought that was interesting. And we've heard that before from other EV startups, for sure. But I think Geeta explained it better. They talked about the Alaska project using a lot of the Fisker Ocean parts, which is awesome, because I think the Fisker Ocean is a great car. I'd really like to see, before I put any money down, what they actually produce and deliver. But on paper, I think it's a great car. I don't know that we knew this before, but the platform that they're using is the FT32 platform for their underpinnings of their vehicle. And we got a little bit more information on the Fisker pair, but this is where I am going to leave it today. I want to thank everybody for emailing in that they finished Investor Day. I was actually shocked. I have a lot of stickers to send out. I'm shocked how many people not only finished, but emailed in to let me know that they had finished. That's awesome. So my plan tomorrow is to answer your emails, because I haven't gotten back to everybody yet, and then also start shipping out stickers. So thank you, everyone, for the feedback and the personal stories. Again, I haven't got to all of them, but I will. So I appreciate it, each and every one of you. And if you haven't heard, if you made it through all three episodes of Tesla Investor Day, even if you haven't, I'll still do it. You just email me, Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com, and I'll send you some kilowatt stickers, which I think are very cool. For those who are listening to both this podcast and my other podcast, Shuffle Playlist, that I do with my buddy Chris, I release the newest episode. We only release episodes every 2 weeks. And this week we talk about My Pizza, My World, which is kind of like a folksy punk bluegrass band. It's really good music. There's a little ragtime. You got horns. It's not like thrashy like punk, but it's punk in spirit. So I'll put a link in the show notes for everybody. All right. That is it for me today. If you want to email me again, it's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. I am on Twitter at 918digital. I hope you all have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you on Friday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.